Okay, so sorry I'm late. Sometimes it doesn't matter because all of you are late anyway. So. I have to drive an hour and a half, so it's a little different from all of you. You have to drive 2 minutes. So. What can be done? Okay, so everyone calm down. Everyone get focused. Stop your chitter chatter. Focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki. Tonight we'll finish chapter 76. What is chapter 76 called?
The battle between Shalva and the
Vrishnis. The battle between Shalva and the Vrishnis. Dwarka is under attack. So we'll begin with text number 18 and we'll go to text number 33. Finish the chapter. Lord Pradyumna's arrows all had gold shafts, iron heads, and perfectly smooth joints. With 25 of them, he struck down Shalva's commander-in-chief, Juman. And with 100, he struck Shalva himself. Then he pierced Shalva's officers with one arrow each, his chariot drivers with 10 arrows each, and his horses and other carriers with 3 arrows each. So there's no purport there. There's not so many purports in this section. But there are some comments by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The basic premise is that Pradyumna is fighting at this point in time. He is the main hero in the description. Usually in the Bhagavatam, it is Krishna who is being described in terms of his performance of the pastimes. But here, Pradyumna is the main personality. So, Pradyumna is none different from Krishna. He is Chaturvyuha. Krishna is the original person. And then, who is the next expansion after Krishna? Lord Balaram. And where is Lord Balaram situated? Goloka Vrindavan? Yeah. But if we're talking just about the dhams, then which dham is Balaram situated? Yeah, Krishna. Where is Krishna situated? Yeah, Krishna in the original form is in Vrindavan. And then Balaram is in? Vrindavan. Yeah. He's Krishna's first expansion in Vrindavan. So Krishna's the original form and Balaram is his first expansion. That's in Vrindavan. Then Balaram expands firstly as? Yeah, but which particular chapter? Which personality in the chapter of Yuhat? Sankarsana. So who does Sankarsana refer to in the first Adi Chaturvyuha? Who is that? Who is Sankarsana? Huh? Who is it? Right, it is Balaram in Dwarka. When we're talking about Adi Chaturvyuha, that is Balaram in Dwarka. So Balaram in Vrindavan expands to Balaram in Dwarka. This is when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, his Vasudeva expansion leaves. Krishna stays. So when Balaram leaves Vrindavan, then his Vasudeva feature leaves. And he goes into Dwarka. And then he expands as Vasudeva, Pradyumna, and
Aniruddha.
Vasudeva is Krishna in Dwarka, and then Pradyumna is his son. Right, and Aniruddha is his
grandson.
Yeah, they're all mentioned in the pastimes here in the 10th canto. So here it is Pradyumna. So it's God himself. It's Krishna's expansion. Right? One of them. And then who comes after the Adi Chaturvyuha?
Narayan.
Yeah. So that means who expands into Narayan? Right. Sankarsana, Balaram, in Dwarka. Then he expands into Narayan. So who is Narayan? Where is he situated?
Dwarka.
In?
Vidadi.
Vaikuntha. In the Vaikuntha realm, the Vaikuntha planets. So Lord Narayan is situated there. And then there is the second Chaturvyuha, which means he begins to expand. You see on the Bhagavatam, the first canto, all the different Vaikuntha planets. So the Chaturvyuha, they expand, and then the further expansions, and then their different forms on all of the different planets. And then the second Chaturvyuha, the Sankarsana from the second Chaturvyuha, then he expands into Mahavishnu, who is in the Gavadaka ocean. So it means outside of the spiritual realm. And then he expands, Galbadakshaya Vishnu, means in each universe. And then Shiradakshaya Vishnu is the super soul, means in every atom and every particle. He is there. So that is the description of the expansions. So then, this is Prajumna. So he is the Supreme Lord. But he is playing the role of the son, just like Balaram is the brother. Prajumna is the son, and Aniruddha is the grandson. So he is fighting at the moment. He's gone onto the battlefield. So he's fighting on behalf of Krishna. Because he is the guru. Balaram is said to be Adi Guru. And this is Balaram's expansion. So he is the guru. Guru teaches us to fight on behalf of Krishna. So that's what he's doing. If Krishna's not there, then we will do it. Krishna is not on the battlefield, so then Prajumna will fight. Right? Same way. We will fight on behalf of our gurus for ISKCON. Hands up if you would die for ISKCON. Two devotees. Two devotees, like, yeah, maybe find that. I hope that you would all die for ISKCON. To spread the movement. I hope that that's a fact.
I mean, you live for us.
What's that?
We want to live for us.
Come on, too.
Live for us.
We're doing that already. We're already doing that. Would you die for ISKCON? That's the point. You have to die for ISKCON. That's the spirit. That's what Prajumna is teaching us. You have to be willing to die. He's on the battlefield. Die for ISKCON. Die for Prabhupada, die for your Guru Maharaj. That's the spirit. That's the spirit that each devotee has to have. Each one of us should be willing to die for ISKCON. Give our life for ISKCON. You got enough free prasadam. You have to give something back. Yep. I mean, think about how much you donate to ISKCON annually and think how much you eat annually. I'm from ISKCON, right? You probably just pay for your prasad. Hopefully you give more.
Much less than me.
Much less?
Most of the girls does you. They give much more than they eat at the temple.
They give what?
They give much more than they eat at the temple.
Well, that's good. That should be the system. You should give more than you eat. Whatever you eat should not surpass what you give. That should be the system. We should give as much as we can. And then you can eat with a clear consciousness. The next thing we have to work on is not using all the paper plates.
Yeah.
That's the next thing. I've been talking about this for years, but devotees don't really take this on. There's an ignorance. Devotees are affected by Kali Yuga, like everyone outside. Devotees also. Like that. Temple spends, I've already told you in the past, $50,000 on paper plates. You know, if devotees would be mindful, just like at our farm, we have the metal plates. They'll do that here when the new prasadam hall is done. This will actually become the prasadam hall where we're sitting now. Then they'll have a metal plates and they'll have a dishwasher. But even still, devotees could. I bring my own metal plate to the temple. Devotees say, "Oh, Prabhuji, it's so difficult." What's difficult? You just bring a metal plate. Or you bring tiffin, you know, instead of like, you know, I see devotees walking out with like six paper plates all like stacked up. Just get a tiffin. I used to live just behind the temple, 79 Little Pages. I lived there for 7 years like that. I had a tiffin, just bring it down, fill it up, take it back. What's the big deal? Oh, I have to wash the tiffin. Oh, Prabhuji. Like that. So much austerity I'm doing already. Now I have to wash my tiffin. Like that. You know, we pray that Krishna gives you strength to wash your tiffin. So this devotee should be conscientious of this. The next thing that devotee should work on. Yeah, I'll keep saying it. No one will do it anyway, but at least we can keep saying it.
Not only money, it's not good for the environment.
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard the plates come from trees. Yeah, but people don't think. And people don't really care. That's the thing. And devotees don't really care either. You know, we talk, but we're not really environmentalists. Some of us are, but most aren't. Even on the home programs, everyone just uses plastic plates and everything like that. Just throw it in the bin. Just a disposable mentality that everyone in Kali Yuga has. But the point is that we should be willing to die for ISKCON. Because this is what Prajumna is teaching us. He's on the battlefield. Now, Prabhupada said that when you join the Hare Krishna movement, you declare war on Maya. So war means you're in a battle. Being in a battle means you have to be willing to give up your life. That's the system. So Prajumna is doing that. He's on the battlefield. That's real leadership. Real leadership means you go out. Like he in Dwapara Yuga, you know, I wish I was born in Dwapara Yuga because I find Kali Yuga very boring. But in Dwapara Yuga, for your service was to go and fight. In Kali Yuga, it's to preach. So we should, if we can't go out and fight, then we should preach. We should go out and, or at least be part of the army, Sankirtan army. You know, if you're not a preacher, you know, you're not on the front line distributing books or giving lectures or whatever you do, then support everyone who does. Somehow support them. Give financially or cook the prasadam or do something like that. So that everything is going on. But we're part of an army now. Part of an army means it's your responsibility to make sure we win the battle. So, any points?
It's with Balaram also on the back of the...
Yeah, it says Krishna and Balaram. They come. Yeah, they're not mentioned so much yet, but they come. At the moment, Prajumna is leading the charge.
Krishna is leading the charge. Is in a sacrifice.
Yeah, they're on the way. They're getting it. I think Balaram's already there. But yeah, Prajumna's on the front line at this point in time. Okay. When they saw the glorious Prajumna performing that amazing and mighty feat, all the soldiers on both sides praised him. At one moment, the magical airship built by Maya Dhanava appeared in many identical forms. And the next moment, it was again only one. Sometimes it was visible, and sometimes not. Thus, Shalva's opponents could never be sure where it was. So, fighting with the material energy. This is the analogy that we can draw. Because this is the way the material energy is. Prabhupada says, you give the material energy 1 inch and it will take a mile. Now we have this saying in English, you give an inch and take a mile. Right. Prabhupada explains that is how the material energy is. Just like Tamal Krishnamaraj, he was on a train in India and he told Prabhupada, he said he was sitting on the train and then one lady, she came, big like lady, she came and she said, so Tamal Krishnamaraj moved a little bit, so she sat down, and then, you know, after some time, you know, she kept moving along, and then her son, you know, then kept moving, and then another child, and then, you know, and by the end, Tamal Krishnamaraj had nowhere to sit. He was on the floor. So he told the story to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, that is just like Maya. You give this much, and it takes everything. Yeah. So Prabhupada explains. When we preach, Prabhupada gave the analogy, in like a needle, out like a plow. So we just come in very finely. That's how the Hare Krishna movement preaches, just coming very finely and then take everything. That's the system. But Maya, because it's a battle, she's working exactly the same way. She just comes in very finely and the next minute takes over your life. Anyone had that experience? Yeah, one or two people had that experience. Yeah, one person. This is how Maya works. She only needs this much. But then she will take everything. It is her duty to keep you in the material world, lifetime after lifetime. That is her service. And she's very expert at doing that. I know myself, if she wants to keep me here, she could do it quite easily. You know, at the moment I'm making progress in Krishna consciousness, but I know if she really came in to derail me from Krishna consciousness, she could do it. She has that potency. And I'm weak in devotional service. So if she wanted to do it, she could do it. But you know, Krishna is being merciful. He's allowing me to keep coming. Which I appreciate very much. And I have a desire. I have a desire to go back to Krishna. I have a desire to go back and become a pure devotee. But I know that if Maya really pushed me, she could derail me from Krishna. So we pray to Krishna. Just like one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he said, all of you can fall down, but I cannot. All of you can be tempted by Maya, but I cannot. And then after the lecture, Prabhupada was taking darshan of the deities and one devotee asked, said, Prabhupada, what were you praying? And Prabhupada said, I was praying that Maya will not touch me. Always praying like that. So we have to at least pray like that, because Maya can touch us, that's the difference. Prabhupada cannot be touched by Maya, but we can. But we always have to pray, Krishna, please protect. Be humble as a devotee. Don't never think you're so advanced that Maya cannot take you. She can take any of us anytime. Any day of the week. Any time of the day. We're in Maya most of the time anyway. We're always in Maya. I've told that pastime many times. Giriraj Maharaj is walking on the beach in Juhu with Prabhupada. He said, oh Prabhupada, I'm sorry I got into Maya. Prabhupada put his cane in the sand. He said, you are always in Maya. And just walked off. And Giriraj Maharaj was shaking. He just offered obeisances to Prabhupada and chased after Prabhupada. We are always in Maya. We don't know anything different. Just like right now, what do we see? We just see material energy. We don't see spiritual energy. That's Maya. We go out on the street, we see some beautiful lady, we look like that, or some beautiful man, we look like that. That's Maya. You know, all of us do that. We do that every day, all of us. So we get distracted in so many ways. You go, maybe you're in India and you know, in some shop somewhere, then you hear some song you used to hear when you were a kid, when you were a teenager, and you start like going. Well, we do it all the time. I do it like I'm somewhere in some shop, and the music comes over, and then I think, oh yeah, I was 16, I was doing this, and I start singing the song. And I think, wait a minute, I'm a devotee, I can't do this. And I say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Hare. They become distracted very easily by anything. That's the nature of the material energy. In like a needle, out like a plow. So we have to always pray to Krishna that we don't leave Krishna consciousness. Because all of us could leave very easily. Anytime. If Maya really wanted to put pressure on us, she could take us. Krishna is merciful and he's allowing us to stay in Krishna consciousness. Any points? At one moment, I just read that. From one moment to the next, the Sopa airship appeared on the earth, in the sky, on a mountain peak, or in the water, like a whirling, flaming baton. It never remained in any one place. So, as we said last week, This is terrorism. That's what it is. This is terrorism. They do it now. They did in Christchurch. You know, the man walked in and killed everyone, 50 people. That's terrorism. This is terrorism. You know, it's got a big thing flying above everyone and just poof, killing everyone. That's terrorism. Same thing. The problem is that terrorism is going on every day. Because they're killing all the animals. That's terrorism. It's the same thing. Just like Hitler, you know, he killed, they say, 6 million Jewish people in the Second World War. You know, if you think about these things, it's incredible. 6 million people killed. You know, concentration camps in Germany. 6 million people killed. But you think every day it's the same thing that this society is doing to the animals. Same thing. And it's terrorism. So as long as that happens, there will never be peace. And Prabhupada would always preach like this. Whenever you see Prabhupada preaching to a non-devotee when he was on the planet, he would meet with the priests or this one or that one. Always he was on this point. Why do you kill the animals? Always. He wouldn't even go higher. You know, and the famous...
Cardinal.
Yeah, the cardinal. Remember his name?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel. Yeah, the French, like that. he doesn't get it. You see the video. Prabhupada's leg is shaking. If you see the video, Prabhupada's going like this. He's frustrated with this guy. He's just going, you know, because Prabhupada's trying to say to him, the animals have a soul, and he's saying, oh, the animal does not have a soul. Prabhupada said, it says in your Bible, thou shalt not kill. Oh, but that refers to the human beings. Prabhupada just would not let him go. And then he tries to change the subject matter several times. And Prabhupada said, no. Keeps going back to this one. Prabhupada said, when I preach, I am like a karate man. He said, I find the weak spot and I kick it and kick it and kick it until they go down. Prabhupada said that. That's how he preaches. And you see, whenever he's dealing with the Westerners, he'd just be on this point. Why do you eat the animals? Yeah, you want to understand something. You can't understand anything genuinely in spiritual life until you get to understanding this point. Until you stop being a terrorist. Because if you're eating meat, you are a terrorist. That's the reality. You're killing for no reason. Right? And this is what Shalva's doing. No reason to attack Dwarka. Dwarka's a peaceful place. It's like attacking it, like, you know, that man came into the mosque and killed all the people. You know, that's a peaceful place. You know, but unfortunately all the Islam people, they eat a lot of meat. That's their practice. So they're causing terrorism, they don't realize it. Well, they realize it, but they don't acknowledge it. They cause terrorism, and then terrorism comes back. But these acts should not be carried out in a peaceful place. That's the point. I mean, we understand karma and we understand all these things, but you know, the basic principle is you're attacking Dwarika. You're attacking the holy dharma. It's like attacking the temple or attacking the Vrindavan or something like that. It's a horrible thing to do. Even in the past, you know, the Islamic people, they came into Vrindavan, they were smashing the deities and destroying the temples. You know, Govindaji's temple, the original one, if you go to Vrindavan, have you anyone seen it? Yeah, Govindaji's temple. That used to be 7 stories high. Now it's only 2 stories. Because Aurangzeb, he was staying in Mathura, and he could see from Mathura the lamp at the top of the temple. He said, what is that? I said, oh, that's one of the Hindu temples. He said, knock it down. Why should it be so prominent that we can see the lamp? So they went and they knocked off 5 floors from the temple. This is terrorism, doing all these things. So we see Shalva, this is where it all begins. If you go back all the way in the Bhagavatam, that's that. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they were horrible. They were horrible. No, they did. Ravana, horrible. Hiranyakashipu, or it was either him or Ravana, one of them. They disorganized the universe because they took control of the universe, and they organized it so if you did punya, means if you're pious, you would go to Patala. And if you were doing pap, sin, you would go to Swarga. And you muck the whole universe up. So then, you know, the bad people were getting rewarded, the pious people were getting, they were suffering. This is terrorism. It's there all the way. It's the nature of the material world. It's always going to be terrorism. The more we go away from God, the more terrorism will come. Right? In the spiritual world, it's not there. Now, what's the worst thing that happens in the spiritual world?
People are anxious for Krishna.
Yeah, people are anxious for Krishna. I mean, the most violence you get in the spiritual world is a flower fight. Yeah, everyone throws flowers at each other. They make bombs, so flower bombs. The gopis, I don't know how they do it. They must, like paper mache or something, I don't know. But, you know, hopefully one day we can go and see. They do. They make fill full of flowers and they throw it, and when it hits you, it explodes in flowers. Yeah. That's violence in the spiritual world. That's as far as it goes. You know, holy, they get their, what do they call that? The
syringe.
Yeah. Has it got a name there?
Pitchkari.
So they take the world. Yeah, that's violence in the spiritual world. Big fights, everyone's like, blah, blah,
blah.
Water gun, yeah. I did that in Vrindavan. I was there for Holi one time. And we went to Loy Bazaar and we brought, because we went to Loy Bazaar and they attacked us. We're on the rickshaw. They're coming out from every direction, throwing on us. Like, so we got to Loy Bazaar, we brought dye, we brought plastic buckets, filled it up with water, put the dye in, and we brought the pitch curry. And then as we went back through, you know, they all came out to attack us, and we started. Yeah, as we're riding through on the rickshaw, it was like, wow, such good fun. I can show you the photo, we're just covered. Danda Karanya and me, and Nakula, one devotee. Very good fun. That's as far as it goes in the spiritual world. Any points?
Yet this animal killing started in the last 2,000 years.
What was that?
Animal killing and animal eating.
Started when?
2,000 years ago, after Christ, after Jesus or something.
It was there even in Dwapara Yuga. It's always there in society.
Yeah, but rampant. Like
rampant. Yeah, in Kali Yuga, that's when it became mainstream.
The Christians are leading the movement, right?
Not particularly. It says that 3,000 years ago, Buddha was there, and Buddha came to stop that. So even 3,000 years ago, it was happening. So virtually 5,000 years ago, Kali Yuga began. So not long after that, that's when it began. Within 2,000 years of Kali Yuga, it was already large scale. And then Buddha had to preach against it. And then, you know, by the time of Jesus, when Jesus came,
he ate fish once.
I don't think Jesus
and
ate.
His followers eat it every day.
Yeah, I don't think he actually did. It's debatable whether he did that. But when Jesus came, the way they were living, the Romans, because the Romans were in control of Israel, where he appeared, they were doing horrible things. If you were what they call like a Christian or a Jew like that, they would capture them, and then at night time in the streets, they would put them on a pole and wrap them up and douse them with like oil and set fire to them to keep the street alight at night time. Like humans, alive. You know, the Romans were doing this back in that time.
Killing Jews or?
Yeah, people who were not following like the Roman. So I think the Jews, Christian, couldn't have been Christians because Christ was a Sinner. But I mean, Jesus was a Jew. Yeah, the Christians and the Jews don't get along. But Jesus was a Jew. It's all very mixed up, that part of the world. Even to this day, you know, whenever there's conflict, there's always conflict there. I mean, that part of the world, always. Middle East, always fighting. Islam, Jew, Christian, all of them always, always. And all the Palestinians and the Israelites, and it's always like that. I mean, back then, they'd sit fighting people, horrible, horrible things. So this terrorism's always been going on. So. Okay. Wherever Shalva would appear with his Sopa ship and his army, there the Yadu commanders would shoot their arrows. Shalva became bewildered upon seeing his army and aerial city, thus harassed by his enemy's arrows, which struck like fire and the sun and were as intolerable as snake venom. Yogi, you like to read
that? Sridharaswami explains that the arrows of the Yadu commanders burned like fire, struck simultaneously from all sides of the sun's rays, and like snake venom, were lethal by a single touch.
Any points? Any other points?
In comparison, I mean, the Yadu dynasty basically are very powerful. Of course, from the previous verses, we see that they were actually not able to see what Salva and his planes were coming and going and all that sort of thing. So being so powerful and being in Krishna's sort of, how can we understand that they are not able to sort of keep in touch with
It's Leela Shakti. Leela Shakti means pastime potency. Yeah, you know, Prajumna is all powerful. He's God. So, and we'll see, it's discussed as the chapter goes on. The Leela Shakti covers everyone with Yoga Maya so they can be human like. Otherwise, he's God. So, what's the. This thing keeps appearing and disappearing and then it goes into five and then turns into one and then. 1 minute's here, 1 minute's there. So he's God. So what's the problem? He knows where it's going to be before it even gets there. It's like that. But Leela Shakti covers them so they can enjoy the pastime. Same as Krishna. You'll see in this pastime, the next chapter, how Krishna is covered by Yoga Maya also. You can see back in the Vrindavan pastimes, like when Agasura was there, and when all his friends ran in, and then it says that Krishna, by the influence of Yoga Maya, he actually thought, oh, my friends are in danger. He actually had that feeling, and that was genuine because of Yoga Maya's covering. Any other points?
It's just an example. He's bewildered. But it's just another example of how the spiritual energy is always more powerful than the material.
Very good. Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. Yeah. Because the jiva is tatashta. Tatashta means?
Marginal.
Marginal. Right? We're
is
right in between.
Jiva is marginal.
Tatashta. In Sanskrit, tatashta. It means marginal.
Marginal.
Yeah, it means like the beach. So the beach can be covered by water or king tide or low tide, two different things. So jiva is like that, covered by the material energy or uncovered by the material energy. Right? And the choice is?
Ours.
Who you want to be covered by? Who do we want to be covered by? Yeah, actually it's the material energy. That's who we want to be covered by because if you see the way we're absorbed in the material energy more than the spiritual energy. Something in between at the moment. It's like we're absorbed in both, but very much absorbed in the material energy. Very much identifying with the material body, Deha, Pacha, Kalatradishu. Atma Sainesh, Pasatsvati. The Bhagavad Gita says. Deha. Right? You think you're the body, and then you identify with everything related to the body. Apacha, Kalatra, Adishu. Your spouse, your children, offspring, your Adishu means your paraphernalia. All those things. We become very absorbed in that. And you see, even as devotees, we're very absorbed in those things. We're absorbed in the material energy. So, there is a choice that we have to make. And Prabhupada was asked this question in New Vrindavan on his Vyasa Puja. I think it was 1972. It's like the first kind of what we call large-scale Vyasa Puja that Prabhupada celebrated. And one new person asked Prabhupada at the end of the lecture, he put his hand, Prabhupada said, any questions on the Vyasa Puja? Right? He put up his hand. He said, Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? Well, it's a good question. Why is Maya so strong? It's like a new devotee, like a bhakta, asking Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are weak. I think specifically Prabhupada said, you are not sincere. We are not sincere. If we are actually, Maya cannot touch us. We allow Maya to touch us. We compromise all the time. Because she's powerful, but we compromise. And because of that, then we're overcome. But the spiritual energy is more powerful than the material energy. Yogamaya is more powerful than Mahamaya. No. So we have to choose who we will take. That's why the Yadavas, they cannot be defeated. Anyone else would be defeated by Shalva. Anyone else. You're so powerful. But they cannot be defeated. Because the spiritual energy is more powerful. It's Krishna's energy. Krishna Suya Sama Maya Haya Andakar. Yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be darkness. Wherever the sun is, there cannot be darkness. The sun is too powerful. So Krishna is too powerful. If you take shadow of Krishna, you take shadow of Guru. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita Narottama says. Take shelter of Krishna, gurus, devotees, shastra, all four. You can take shelter of all four. Which is your favorite? Krishna, guru, shastra, or Vaishnava? Who is your favorite?
They're all the same.
Vaishnavas. All the same. Vaishnavas. Yeah, it's up to you. It's your personal bhav. Some devotees are more attached to Krishna. Some devotees are more attached to Radharani. Some devotees are attached to both equally. Spiritual world, there's variety. So it's up to you. Just like I often say to devotees, if they're taking darshan in the temple, you know, sometimes I come up behind them and I say, who is your favorite? You know, there's seven major deities to choose from, and then there's also Sheila's. And I quite often ask her, who is your favorite? Interesting, because when I hear the answer, it makes me understand the devotee more. Who is your favorite?
Krishna.
I'm not asking you, I'm just saying.
Krishna.
It's up to you. But, you know, it's interesting, because there is variety in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, people have their attachments. So the point is, the spiritual energy is stronger than the material energy. It is stronger. But we have to hold on tightly to Krishna. That's the test for all of us. Any points?
When we read about these battles.
Read about?
About these battles. Various battles and fighting.
Battles, yeah.
It appears that currently there are many peaceful world.
Currently what?
in a very peaceful world.
Currently?
Yeah.
In Melbourne we are. The world's not peaceful though.
Compared to this bag, there's nothing like that going on.
Well, nothing of that power.
The last big battle of World War II, right?
Go to Syria. Yeah, see what they're dealing with.
It's isolated now. It's isolated. Like, you know, that was the last what we call World War, where everyone jumped in. But, you know, like Ali is saying, like Syria, they've been...
Right now.
From 2011, you know, President Obama is seen as being the peaceful president. And the president going was Bush, he was seen as being the war president, and Obama's like the peaceful. But Obama's dropped more bombs in his time than Bush did. And Bush dropped a lot of bombs. Syria was, if you see picture, just do a Google search of Syria, the war in Syria, see what they've done to the country. They've blown it apart. Blown it apart. That's why our, there's devotee Tulsi Gabbard. You know, she's going to attempt to run against Donald Trump next year in the election. I don't think she'll be the nominee, but there's some good ones though. Much better than what we've seen in recent history. Not the devotees, but they're much better than, there's some sanity there. But she's saying that, you know, all those recent wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, all of them, they haven't done anything to create stabilization in the regions. They just create more problems. Any other ones? Melbourne will fall one day. Australia will have a war one day. Maybe in our lifetime, maybe after our lifetime, but Australia will have a war. It won't be peaceful here forever. You know, 50 years or 100 years, there will be a conflict. It will come.
So. In the newspaper it was mentioned recently. Yesterday, billions of dollars have been taken out of the UK's economy, and these have been given to the terrorists in Pakistan. So they have traced everything. So the terrorists are sitting on a pile of money. They can do anything, whatever they want. Billions of taxpayer.
Yeah, the whole world is corrupt. The British government produces missiles and guns and things, sells them to Saudi Arabia, and then, you know, this is open, you know, it's open knowledge. They sell it to Saudi Arabia, and then from there it gets disseminated all across their Middle Eastern area, and everyone's blowing each other up and shooting, and Britain's making good money out of it. It's all crazy. Like, it's all crazy. David Muruswamy's book, In Search of Vedic India, he brings up a lot of this stuff. David Muruswamy's expert, he researches it. The world is crazy. Everything you see is false. Everything we see is false. It's all crazy. Every government in the world. Even there, I saw recently, actually, in Iceland. Iceland's quite a peaceful kind of country. The capital of Iceland, I can't remember what it's called, but...
Reykjavik.
What's it called?
Reykjavik.
Yeah, so in that place. There's a guy, he's a comedian. So he thought, just for a joke, he would run to be the mayor. And he became the mayor. They voted for him. He was just mucking around. You know, he started the party and said a few things. And everyone voted for him because the politicians are crazy. And then he was the mayor for 4 years. And then his realization at the end was there are things that you cannot change. Even though he did change things and make things better. But he said the things you cannot change because actually the corporations are controlling the politics. They said, even if you try to pass things, you cannot pass things. And even if Tulsi gets in, I mean, she's a devotee, but she won't be able to change a lot because of the way the world is. So the world is, it's all false. Kali Yuga is much worse than what we all even realize. So. Kali Adosha Nidhe Rajan Asti Heko Mahan Guna. Only one good quality. And this all, because it's already crazy, and all this will implode in time. Like that. So there's only one good quality, and that is chant the holy name. And when Kali gets more intense, we will chant more intensely. It's like if you're on a plane and the plane looks like it's going to crash, you chant intensely. Radhana Swami told us that story. You know, when he was on the plane and the plane, the wheels did not come out. So then they told everyone, they said, okay, we're going to have an emergency landing. Maharaj said that was his best rounds in his life. Well, what are you going to do with your plane? Okay. Because the heroes of the Vrishni clan were eager for victory in this world and the next, they did not abandon their assigned posts on the battlefield, even though the downpour of weapons hurled by Shalva's commanders tormented them. What is this quality of a devotee? He does not abandon
his posts.
His posts. Huh? We call it nishtha. Nishtha means steady. You have to be fixed in devotional service. You don't make advancement unless you are fixed in devotional service. Steady. You have to be very. Krishna says in Gita, ekeha kuru. You have to be fixed. Vyavasa yatmika buddhi. Your buddhi, your intelligence has to be fixed. That's how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you cannot advance. So it says the assigned posts. You give up, you have a post. It is given to you by Guru, by Krishna, by senior devotees. They give you a service, you stick on that service. Srila Prabhupada, they asked him one time, they said, how long should someone be a GBC for? Prabhupada said, for life. Means fix. You're given a service, you stay on the service. You don't give it up. You have to be fixed. So it says here they would not give up their assigned posts, especially in a battle. That's not easy. When you're being attacked, it's easy to move because you're under pressure. As devotees, we have to say, fix on our service. Don't let the service stop. Don't let the service stop. Keep it going. Shalva's minister, Juman, previously wounded by Sri Prajumna, now ran up to him and roaring loudly struck him with his club of black steel. Prajumna's driver, the son of Daruka, thought that his valiant master's chest had been shattered by the club. Knowing well his religious duty, he removed Prajumna from the battlefield. So, it's mentioned in the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains. This is Yogamaya's potency. How could Prajumna fall down in the first place? How do you make the Supreme Lord fall back? That's Leela Shakti. It's just pastime, that's all. He can't be defeated, obviously. His body is spiritual. How can something material even affect the spiritual body? It cannot. Why does this pastime take place? Why does it take place? To increase the hankering for the Lord means. Yeah. He also makes a comment in this chapter. He says, to increase the enthusiasm of the soldiers on the battlefield. Because what did they think? They thought, one of our leaders has gone down, now we'll fight twice as hard. That's how we feel as devotees. We should fight twice as hard. So that was the feeling. That's why Leela Maya, Prajumna appeared like he fell back. Even in Ramayana, Lakshman, same thing happened. Indrajit hit him with the Shakti weapon, he fell back like that, just to increase the fighting for everyone and increase the level of attachment for the devotees. The devotees feel like the Lord is under pressure, then they feel protected. That's why Daruka's son took him from the battlefield out of love. We should feel like that about the deities. Prabhupada said, You should feel. That's called Atma Van Seva. You should always feel. Oh, the deities are cold. I'm cold. So the deities must be cold. No. Just like sometimes, you know, if you go into the temple, you know, I see Prabhupada dressed in the temple. You know, sometimes devotees, they put too much on. It's like a warm day, they put too many clothes on, or it's a cold day, they don't put enough on. You have to think, if I'm feeling cold, then Prabhupada must be cold. The deities must be cold. You know, if I'm feeling hot, they must also be hot. That's how you should feel. So for our Ishtadev, for the Lord, you should always feel, what are they feeling? That's what Daruka is for. Sorry. Daruka's son. Quickly regaining consciousness, Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna said to his charioteer, O driver, this is abominable for me to have been removed from the battlefield. So a kshatriya will never
show his back.
Yeah, never show his back. You never retreat from the battle. That's not considered. And a devotee, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, a devotee is like a kshatriya. A devotee should never back down from serving Krishna. Even when it's difficult, we should continue with our service. That is the system.
Sorry, I just read ahead. That's so fun. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he really gets into his chariot driver. Except for me, no one born in the Yadu dynasty has ever been known to abandon the battlefield. My reputation has now been stained by a driver who thinks like a eunuch. So he chastises the chariot driver. If you're a disciple, if you're a devotee, you will be chastised. You ever been chastised by a senior devotee or guru like that?
Yes.
That's mercy, right? The advanced disciple, right, he accepts that. He actually appreciates that. Prabhupada said he appreciates us more than the praise. But I see these days, I'm being honest, devotees are becoming less and less able to be chastised. Like the chastisement I got back in, you know, what my guru got from Prabhupada is nothing like what I got. And I got chastised. And then I see, you know, devotees coming now, they get a little bit of chastisement, they get all mental. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, how can they say that to me? Oh, I'm so hurt. Oh, you get give some devotees some instruction or some correction. They get all, or they get, you know, really like, you know, I haven't seen devotees like, you give them a bit of, you know, chastisement, they get like, you know, ready to, right? What is that? What is the attitude? One devotee, remember, Prima Dan Prabhu, used to come to our classes, now he lives over in India. You know, I chastised him a few times, and he was so humble. I never seen anything like it. Didn't even move, like his face didn't even change,
expression.
Yeah. Didn't even change. You had just seen his consciousness. He was totally accepting the chastisement. Okay. Even some of you, sometimes I correct you, but I see like in the eyes, it's like this little, like, you know, bit of a change of an expression going on, more or less, according to the individuals. But sometimes just like, hey, when it totally, you know, I'm not like that. I mean, that's like, that's admirable. Be like that. Now he's India's number one life coach, or he's moving up towards that. Yeah, he's like that. So, yeah, that's the way we should be. If we get chastised, we should accept the chastisement. That's, you know, I mean, you know, Daruka's son didn't say, okay, that's it. You know, I quit. You know, you drive the chariot, I'm going. You know, he didn't say that. He accepts the chastisement. What will I say to my fathers, Ram and Keshava, when I return to them after having simply fled the battle? What can I tell them that will befit my honor? Dishonor is worse than
death.
For a devotee, dishonor is worse than death. Don't lose your honor. don't lose your honor. Always act in such a way that the devotees will respect you. Now, if you lose respect, then it's very difficult to get it back. Certainly my sisters-in-law will laugh at me and say, "Oh, hero, tell us how in the world your enemies turned you into such a coward in battle." The driver replied, "Oh, long-lived one, I have done this knowing full well my prescribed duty. Oh, my lord, the chariot driver must protect the master of the chariot when he is in danger, and the master must also protect his driver." Interesting point, right? We should not be rebellious or, it's not another word I'm looking for. Should not be rebellious or...
Resentment.
What is it?
Resentment.
Yeah, resentment, but...
Submissive.
Yeah, we should not be unsubmissive. Can't think of the word I'm thinking for.
Resentful.
Yeah, resentful. But, should not be rebellious when we're being corrected by a superior. We should accept the correction, but we can state the other side. But it must be always respectful, submissively, with humility. I remember sometimes, you know, my Guru Maharaj, he would say things. And usually, you know, when we get chastised, we start falling apart. We're like, can't speak back, or we don't want to speak back. But actually, I mean, my Guru Maharaj, she would chastise and say something. I'd say, "Well, actually, it was like that. You know, I did like that." He was saying, "Why did you do like that?" I said, "Oh, because of that." And he said, "Oh, okay, I can understand it now." Right. So we can speak these things. Even Prabhupada, sometimes he would chastise Tamal Krishna Maharaj. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj would explain the situation. Prabhupada would, he would understand. So we can say things, but we just have to be submissive. Respectful, that's all. "With this rule in mind, I removed you from the battlefield since you had been struck unconscious by your enemy's club. I thought you were seriously injured." So this is Leela Shakti. This is Yoga Maya. This is Prema. The Bhagavatam is teaching us Prema. Prema, Pumarta, Maha. It is the great, it is the Prayojana. So here in the Bhagavatam we're hearing how the devotee and the Lord interact with each other out of intimacy. Okay, so tomorrow night we'll continue. Chapter 77.